You so much for that special, ladies, and I want to invite everyone, if you would, to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We've kind of stepped away from our study through Galatians last Sunday night and Wednesday night and this morning. Lord willing, we'll move back into that series through Galatians tonight as we pick back up with Galatians chapter 4. But today, just want to kind of continue with where we've been, talking about evangelism and what comes after that. So Philippians chapter 1, let's pray together and then we'll read the scriptures together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the great day we enjoyed together yesterday and at Easter Fest. Thank you for all the families who came. Thank you for all the workers here. And we just pray that you'll bless with fruit that remains. We pray that every gospel tract that was given out will be read, and that you give those who read it ears to hear the gospel, that you'll bring them to a place of repentance and faith, that they would become followers of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'll bless every conversation we had and just help, Lord, that many will come to Christ because of our efforts. Lord, we pray no matter what that Christ will be magnified. And Lord, as we look to the word today, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, that you would teach us, help us to grow in knowledge and in love, to know you and to be equipped to make you known. Lord, please help me. I'm nothing without you, and I just pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. You'll help all of us to grow, help us to become genuine followers of Jesus, and I pray that you'll help and bless in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning for a little bit, is this fact that we go out and we preach the gospel, we try to evangelize people by giving them the good news that even though we're sinners and we're condemned in our unbelief, that if we'll come to faith in Christ, he forgives us. He gives us everlasting life. We have eternity ahead of us. And so what we want to do is bring people to that place. So this message is, one, for those who do not believe, you must believe to have life. You must trust in the finished work of Jesus. He paid for your sin. He was buried and he rose again. We tried to share that with everyone yesterday. We used a lot of you were here, but we used some things for those that weren't here called resurrection eggs. And we walked through the resurrection story from the scriptures using those eggs. And I thought it went really well. The little kids, everybody stood around. They listened and we got to preach Christ to everyone. The fact that we're all sinners, but Jesus came and died for us and rose again. We have hope in Jesus. And for those who believe, I want you to understand today that the one who began the work in you is the one who will finish the work in you. Christianity is not about religion, it's about a relationship. And we understand that. Religion being that thing of keeping a list of do's and don'ts so that you can gain favor with God. We understand today that we have relationship through faith in Christ alone. There's no amount of good works that you can do to earn God's favor. There's no amount of good works that you can do to earn salvation. There's no amount of good works you can do to keep your salvation. But I want you to understand this. We are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of works. A lot of Christians today are deceived into believing they have to earn their salvation by keeping the works of the law. Now, other people understand that they're saved by faith, but then they have to work to keep their salvation, or at the very least, they think they have to work in order to gain God's favor and approval. somehow believing that God loves them more when they do good and that God loves them less when they fail. That, friends, is religion, not relationship. And when you live your Christian life trying to do a little better and a little better and a little better and a little better, sooner or later you're going to fail. Sooner or later you're going to fall, and it's going to put you in this vicious cycle. Because here's what happens. When you're living a religious life in Christ, you're going to feel really good about yourself on the days you do well, and you're going to feel really bad on the days you don't do well. And you're never going to find peace and rest in Christ. So we've got to get off of that. We've got to get away from that. Yeah? We understand today that the Bible's full of commands, right? I mean, just imagine for a second that you took your Bible and you just got your Bible right here and you got a notepad out here and you started in Genesis 1:1 and you ran all the way through the last amen in Revelation, and as you did that, you wrote down every command that God gives, that do this and don't do that. Okay? Can you imagine that? You know what you'd end up with? And imagine you finished writing out the Bible and you said, okay, this is all the things that I have to do and all the things I can't do. How long do you think you'd last? Well, most of us would fail in the first 5 minutes. And that's the reality of it. Yes, God calls us to obey his commands. And Jesus calls his disciples to hear his word and do it. We understand that we are supposed to be different because we are born again. But we're different because we're born again. We're not born again because we're different. And it's really important that we understand the distinction. You can't achieve following Jesus through your personal religious efforts. It has to be achieved through your relationship by faith in Christ. When you learn to abide in him, when you learn to abide in his word, when you live a life of trusting him and resting in him, then you'll come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Remember, I'm always trying to remind you guys of John 8:31, because Jesus says to those disciples that believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Those who believe in Jesus and continue in the word of Jesus, abiding in the word of Jesus, they are real disciples. But the next verse says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here's what happens. The more I get into the word of God, the more I'm living in his word and abiding in his word, the more freedom I have, because the more I understand the gospel. Some of you guys think the gospel is just for lost people. No, I need the gospel every day, and so do you. You have to remember that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. And you needed to know that in the beginning, and you need to know it now. Because here's what happens. When you think you're doing good, you feel really good about yourself. That's pride. When you think you're doing good and you compare yourselves to others that you esteem aren't doing so good, then you're lifted up with pride and superiority and self-righteousness, and we become like the Pharisees so quickly. But when I get in the word and I abide in his word and I continue in his word, then I understand that I'm saved by grace and I continue by grace. And if I'm doing any good at all, it's not me, it's God. And now I stay in this place of humility, and I try to keep myself in this place of humility so that Christ is exalted. I keep myself dependent entirely on him, and I'm not thinking that I'm doing it at all, because if you're doing any good, it's not you, it's him. It's him. I saw a quote this week. It said, the only sin Christ ever had was ours. And the only righteousness, the only goodness we ever had is his. Isn't that good? The only sin Christ ever had was ours. What do I mean? Did he sin? No, but he took our sin on himself. The only righteousness, the only goodness that you and I ever have is his. Our righteousness is like filthy rags, right? Listen, you ought to remind yourself of it, brothers and sisters, because I'm telling you, we don't really believe it. So many, anytime we do good, we got that little thing in us, like, I mean, we're like a little kid running to mommy and daddy, like, look what I did. We run to God and say, look what I did. And I'm sure he just smiles at us because he's gracious. But it wasn't us, was it? If it was good, it was God. And when we learn to abide in Christ, then working becomes resting. I'm not trying to do it. I'm just resting in Christ, in his finished work, and trusting in him. Failure is overcome by forgiveness. See, when you're living a religious life and you're not trusting in Christ to finish the work that he started, your failures will overwhelm you sometimes. You'll lose your joy. But you've got to abide in his forgiveness. You see that guilt and shame that some of you live with every day because you don't feel like you measure up? Like, man, I didn't read my Bible today. I missed a chance to witness to somebody, or I did that sin that I've been trying to get over and put away. Whatever it is, every day you're going to fail. Every day you're going to fail. But if you're resting in Christ, then you can embrace his grace and believe in his forgiveness. You can live in that. And those details are going to change for every one of you. But there's not a person in this room who's saved who doesn't wrestle with sin. Not one. Least of all me. But the difference is, if you're born again, you're going to wrestle with sin. If you're not saved, you're not going to wrestle with it. You're just going to live in it. Failure can be overcome by forgiveness. Exhaustion can be replaced with renewal. It's exhausting to be religious. Some of you are looking at me like you don't understand what I'm saying. I know you're Baptists, you're not Catholics or Buddhists or Hindus, but just stay with me for a second. When you're trying to live and earn this approval of God, you are living in a religion. You got to get that. You don't gain God's favor by keeping the law before you're saved or after you're saved. And most of you understand you're saved by grace through faith, but then somehow we think that it changes. I was saved by grace, now I'm going to live by really trying hard. I'm going to live out my Christianity by just, you know. One guy said it, Kerry Smith said it in his book, Real Christianity. He said, you saved by grace, but living by grit. You know, just, but that's not true. It's not true. You're saved by grace, you have to live by grace. So rest in your relationship. You have a new position in Christ. You're sanctified. You're saved. You're a new creature. Embrace the grace of God's forgiveness. Be renewed in your heart and mind daily by the promises of his word. Now, he gives us promises, and then he reminds us over and over and over and over and over and over to remember the promises. Surrender everything to Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. My life is his. Your life is his, because he purchased us with a price. You can't. I've said this before, and I was wrong. I've said before that the Christian life is hard. Living the Christian life is hard. That's not wrong. That's not right. That's wrong. Living the Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. Does that encourage you all? Encourage now? It's impossible. You can't do it. Let's go home, right? No, it's impossible for us to do it. But nothing is impossible with God. So we can't, but he can. And I'm just trying to get you to this place, because when you preach these things, some people are hearing, oh, good, preacher's lost his mind. We don't have to do what God says. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying stop trying to do it yourself and start trusting in God to do it. He finishes the work. See, it's right there in verse 6. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. It's not you, it's him. You can't do it. It's impossible for you to do it. So trust in him to do it. Everybody with me? The Bible says if you are saved, we preach the gospel to people and we tell them to repent and believe the gospel. And if they do that, they are born again. If you've done that, you're born again. Quickened, made alive, made new, a new creature. You're forgiven, justified, ransomed, and redeemed, regenerated. If you've trusted Christ, you are saved. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been made alive? Then why do you look so dead? Listen, I'm tired too. Anybody tired? Man, amen. That poor little guy right there, he's tired. But Tom, you just don't know the weariness. How old are you? 7. You don't know the weariness of a 7-year-old. Yeah. Everybody's tired. I get it. So I pray that this message can be encouraging to your soul. But just remind yourself of who you are in Christ. A lot of these thoughts I'm trying to share with you, I mentioned the book Real by Kerry Schmidt. A lot of these thoughts come from that book and just trying to tie that in and remind ourselves, remind myself. Stop trying to improve your behavior. Start living to know your Savior. Stop trying to improve your behavior. Start living to know your Savior. This is what's amazing about that. If you try to change your behavior, if you live in this religion of performance-based acceptance, if you live that way, like I'm going to modify my behavior, I'm going to get my behavior better and better, if you live that way, you're going to meet with failure and disappointment. You're going to get discouraged, you're going to get depressed, and a lot of you will quit if you try to live that way. Now, if we're just going to get real today as a church, how many of you have ever just wanted to quit? Yeah. Why? Because what happened is you were trying to modify your behavior. What happened is you were trying to do in your own strength. What happened is you were trying to do instead of just rest in Christ. So stop trying to modify your behavior and start living to know your Savior. And here's what's amazing. When you live to know Him, He will change your behavior. He'll transform you from the inside out, but it won't be by your effort. It will be by His work and His Spirit. Does God want us to change our behavior? Yeah, of course He does. I read these verses earlier from Titus 2. Titus 2, 11 through 14. And check this out. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What teaches us that? What teaches us that? It's back in verse 11. The grace of God that brought you salvation teaches you that you should live differently. Everybody see that? It's His grace that saved you, teaches you should be different. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So, yes, He wants to change us, but He does that the same way He saves us, by His grace. By His grace. So when we move from this performance-based acceptance to simply living in relationship with Jesus, to do that, yourself has to die. Self-effort, self-glorification, self-gratification, basically everything that's natural to us has to die. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Everybody know what it means to mortify something? Put it to death. Put it to death. Mortify. You guys know what a mortician is. You guys have heard of El Día de los Muertos? Any chance I get to bring in my Spanish accent, I'm going to do that. Got to practice it for when we go to Toro. El Día de los Muertos. You know what that is? The Day of the Dead. Muertos. Death. Mortification. Mortify. What are we doing? We're killing, we're putting to death our old man, our flesh. That has to die in order for me to live in Christ. It's painful to kill your flesh. It's painful to kill your flesh. But it's also liberating. So self has to die. But can I give you some more good news? Even that's impossible for us. We can only do that by the grace and power of God. So essentially, what I'm trying to say to you today is you can't do anything, but Christ does everything. So yield yourself to Him for Him to do the work. Give yourself to Him every moment, every day, for Him to do the work. Stop trying to be enough. Somebody needs to hear this, so I'm going to say it again. Stop trying to be enough. You don't have to be. Hard truth is you can't be. But the good news is Christ is enough. Believe it. Own it. Take in that simple fact and truly, fully believe that Jesus really is, in fact, enough. You're going to face temptation, but He makes a way to escape. You will endure trials and tribulations and troubles, but He gives grace and strength. You will have strife and turmoil, but He gives peace. You will fail, but He forgives. Saved people struggle. You ever read Romans 7? I mean, Paul is just like at the end of himself. He's like, the good that I would do, I don't do that. And the evil I don't want to do, I end up doing that anyway. You remember? I mean, he's wrestling with it. He's struggling. He's fighting. You're going to have struggles in this life. Rest in Jesus. You had to depend on Jesus alone to save you, right? You had to depend on Christ alone to save you, right? Well, you have to learn to depend on Him alone to live your life. It's Galatians 2:20. Being crucified with Christ, but being alive. And the life you live now, you're not living yourself. You live by the faith of the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. You are accepted in the Beloved. I think it's in our nature as human beings to want to be accepted. Don't you want people to like you? Be nice to even be loved, wouldn't it? Like it's abnormal for someone to want to be hated. It's not normal. So those of you out there who want to be hated, you're not normal. There's something in the heart of man to have a desire to be accepted by God. And the world is deceived into believing that religion will get them there. But all religion does is offend God. Believing that He's going to accept you and love you and bring you in based on what you do is an offense to Him because He gave His Son for that. Your acceptance is in Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. What I want you to know today is what Christ began in you, when you trusted Him, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share just a couple of more verses with you from Philippians 1. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter, but I would encourage you to do that this afternoon. It's only 28 verses, and it will be good for your soul. And we look back at verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 7, it says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. When you're born again, Jesus puts his spirit inside of you. He makes you alive, and you're a new creature in Christ. You're born again. You have life. You have forgiveness. You're justified in the eyes of God. You now, for the first time in your life, have the ability to do righteousness through him. So you have this position. And then he says, the love and the knowledge that we have of God, the judgment and the discernment, sincerity, faithfulness, and all of these fruits of righteousness that he describes here, he says in verse 11, are by Jesus Christ. You see it? Do you guys see it this morning? It's not you. See, I've lived most of my Christian life thinking it was me. Thinking, if I don't love enough, I've got to love more. And if I don't believe enough, I've just got to find it down here somewhere and just make myself believe more. He talks about judgment and discernment, like knowing what's right and wrong and holding on to those things that are right. Like I've got to figure this out. I've got to do that. I don't know enough, though. I've got to get smarter so I can figure this out. All of these things. Judgment, discernment, sincerity. I'm not sincere enough. I'm not faithful enough. I don't keep on like I should. To live without offense till the day of Christ, like living a perfect life, living a sincere life. I'm just trying to tell you and be real with you guys this morning. I have lived a lot of my Christian life without joy because I knew I wasn't enough. I've lived a lot of my Christian life without the peace of God because I knew I was falling short. I've lived with the burden of guilt and shame because I wasn't resting in him. And I just want to encourage you today that you can have peace and you can have rest and you can live with joy and hope in believing if you'll rest in Christ and stop trying to be enough. Be filled with the fullness of him. Be filled with the fruits of his righteousness. And these things are all by Jesus Christ. It's all by him. It's not you. So whatever we do in Christ. There's more to be said from this chapter if you take the advice and read it today. In verses 12 through 21, you're going to learn that trouble's going to come. It came to Paul, it'll come to you. Trouble's going to come, but it's for your good and for God's glory. Paul said that all the things that happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He understood that even the trouble he went through was good for the gospel's sake. Paul was crazy. He said, there are people out there preaching the gospel to make things worse for me, and there are people out there preaching the gospel for good reasons. And either way, I don't care. As long as the gospel's preached, I will rejoice. Amen? Hey, by the way, whatever your attitude is about every other denomination, every other group, and every other Christian in the world, if someone else is preaching the gospel, you ought to rejoice. Yeah, we could talk about all the rest of it. And all the rest of it does matter, but for whatever reason someone preaches the gospel, rejoice. Because people are saved by believing the gospel. Verses 12 through 30, he tells us that we need to work together. That we strive together, that we further each other's joy and faith. In rejoicing, we help each other stand fast and strive together for the faith of the gospel. We help each other endure our adversaries and suffering and conflict that we're not, hey, listen, not only can you not do this, it has to be Christ, but praise God, he lets us all do it together. We have each other. We get to struggle and wrestle and work in the in-between together. What do I mean by the in-between? I mean the fact that when you were saved, you were given eternal life. Your You're saved positionally. You have a home in heaven with God. And one day, he's going to glorify this miserable old body. Those poor, broke-down 7-year-old bodies are going to be restored. So we start and we have this positional sanctification. You got saved here. You have that home in heaven. And one day he's gonna redeem you completely. He's going to change these vile bodies to be made like his glorious body. That's coming. But right now we're in the in-between. Salvation was there. Glorification is there. And we live out this mess called sanctification now. And this process, brothers and sisters, will go much better for you if you understand you can't do it, but he can. Rest in him. Rejoice that you're accepted in the Beloved. And walk with Jesus every day. Will you stand with me this morning? While our musicians come, will you pray with me? Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts today to encourage us in our walk with Jesus. We do pray for the lost among us and watching online who've never been born again, that you'll bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus. God, we could never be enough to live up to your perfect and holy and righteous standard, but Jesus is enough. And so I pray that the lost will come to faith in Jesus even now, turning from their sin and trusting in the finished work of Christ alone and calling on your name to save them, giving their lives completely to Christ today. I pray for anyone who's saved but not baptized that they'll take that first step of obedience to Jesus today, make that decision. And for whatever may be in our hearts today, anything holding us back, anything that's causing us to not trust in you, rest in you, be fully committed and yielded and surrendered to you, Father, I pray you'll convict hearts this morning. Please bless your word. Help us to love and live for you. Thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 544.